Warning, the podcast you are about to listen to may have adult language and discuss adult themes not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Far End of the Bench podcast episode. I don't know because Jimmy's not here, but this is Nico Bryant, otherwise aka Charlie Conway, coming to you in the middle of Spooktober. Oh, there's Jimmy. There's Jimmy enjoying his time off. It's almost fall break there for Jimmy, so he's coasting through with Ferris Bueller over here.
Yeah, I need a day off. That's what I'm going to tell the kids. They've pushed me to the point I need a day off. I went back to the old school Party City days. It's for Spirit Week at the school. We're dressing up as your favorite movie character, and I figured that I was going to school, I might as well be Ferris. So, yeah, it's all polyester. It's weird. I feel it's not the same. It's unfortunate. It's not the same. I do it for the kids. I think they're going to get a kick out of it. And then I'm dressing up as Ken on.
Do those kids know what Ferris Bueller's Day Off is? Because if I'm going to be honest with you, I haven't seen that movie in its entirety myself. So
I
don't know.
It gives me the opportunity just to show. I'm going to show the parade scene where he's singing and leads the entire chorus in Twist and Shout, because I think that's going to be fun for them to watch. No, they probably haven't ever seen it. I have a few old souls. Yeah, I always have a few old souls, but I don't think it's going to be very popular amongst the kids. But the teacher will get a kick out of it when they see me walking around and everything like that. And I'll get spirit points because I'm winning back the spirit stick. Far End of the Bench, episode 155. I left Nico out there on the limb. I guess I've been absent 9 times. You know, 9 times I've been absent now. We got a lot of fun things to talk about. Before we get started, follow at FEOTB Pod, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Be sure to follow our TikTok too. That's starting to go a little bit better now that we have Brandon helping us out with making the videos. So big shout out to him. Big shout out to everybody who follows, subscribes, leave a like on the video, leave a comment, tell us how you feel about certain games. We've started to get a little bit more interaction, but we'd love to have everybody going. And again, if you put your picks in the comments, I will check, and if you put it in there before the games are over and you have a better record than Nico or I, which, good luck, because I went 4-2 on the weeks. Boy, that's what I'm talking about. I got a game back.
I'll take a 3-3 record still. I'm not hating on that.
Oh, we're killing it. I'm 16-12 this season so far. You're 20-11, so those extra games that you got from the trivia, they help. But we're pretty hot right now. And we're going to talk about our experience this past weekend at the Broncos. Obviously, we're also going to take a look at the NHL is starting. We're starting to get to that point in time. I remember because last year during fall break, we went to Las Vegas and we stayed. I'm pretty sure it was over my birthday weekend. So we were there Monday night. We sat in Caesars Palace Sportsbook from 4 p.m. until about 11, drank a lot of beer that night. Sorry to my kids that are listening. Sorry to the parents and everybody else. But we were celebrating my birthday, and I was literally watching football. I watched Monday Night Football here. I had 2 screens of NHL going. There was basketball on the other TV, playoff baseball. I was just like in heaven, and I apparently had the ADHD to be able to deal with that because I loved it. I watched all the screens. I think I won money betting on the Avs. It was a good night. So we're almost at that time. We have to take a look at the NHL. We're going to make our predictions, and we'll take a look at the scoreboard because that season has started. I believe the Avs are tomorrow night, right? They're on TNT tomorrow.
On Wednesday, as you're listening or slash watching.
Yeah, Wednesday. So,
opening night was Tuesday. So, yeah, it's the season is off and running. I love it. I loved every second of it. I've been trying to get rid of football for a while now, and I texted you the morning of us recording and was like, hey, let's talk some hockey. Let's bring a little joy back in our lives, huh? Because your team's doing better. My team is an all-out fire sale. So let's bring some joy back into our show and back into a little pep in my step with the Avs starting Wednesday and the Nugs starting in a week and a half. Things are moving. Things are looking brighter. We don't have to deal with the Broncos 24/7 in this state anymore.
And we got to talk about it too, because we won't ever touch on baseball. Have you watched the playoffs so far?
I have. I've been winning a lot of money. I'll tell you what. I've been hammering a bunch of anytime hits and money lines. And for whatever reason, betting on the Rangers, Phillies, and Astros has been very, very good for me. So I'm going to stay hot. So absolutely.
Yeah. There's been a couple. I mean, that Diamondbacks series is
D-backs up 2-0 against the Dodgers. They are notoriously bad. NLS in general is notoriously bad at Dodger Stadium. To win 2 on the road, I'm excited. I'm excited for them. That's great for their franchise. Their last playoff, I think, series win in general, when they moved on to the next round, was against the Rockies, when the Rockies were the last team of the wild card, and I was there in 2019, maybe it was 2018, whatever it was. It was very unfortunate how it ended for the Rockies, but the D-backs moved on, and Archie Bradley had a triple that moved it on. But yeah, I'm excited for the baseball postseason. It is very exciting. It does get the ball moving. It does bring a little juice into the air. I was hearing the baseball announcer, because I have baseball and NHL split screen right now. I was hearing him say, yeah, that when you feel that cool, crisp air and you're still playing baseball, that's always a good sign. So the cool, crisp air is upon us. Summer is gone. We are directly into fall.
It is a strange how it changes, because as a kid, fall ball, it's the kids who are dedicated, but, you know, it's not as fun playing baseball in the fall when you're a kid, because it's cold and not everybody's playing. Everybody's playing football at that time. The summer is where baseball is really big as a kid, and then MLB, this is the important season. Everything else up until this point, unless you get into the playoffs, all you got to do is make sure you get into the bracket, and we're seeing teams like Arizona. All you got to do is have a couple pitchers, have a couple guys that can get you through the lineup and swing the bat. And that's what they're doing right now, leading that series 2-0. Over on the other NLDS, the Phillies and Braves. I mean, the Braves are one of the best teams that I can remember in a long time. They are top to bottom stacked. Acuna is a five-tool player. He can hit bombs. He chases everything down in the outfield, steals bases, everything. He can do it all. So there's a lot of, you know, these guys are performing, and there's high stakes. I mean, Bryce Harper got tossed the other night in that series. So the tempers are flaring on the AL side. The Rays go down. So the Rangers, who you went to a Rangers game this season, didn't you? Last season.
That was last season
when you were, when you were with the Taekwondo, but you've been to a Rangers game, and now they're into the postseason, and they lead that series against the Orioles 2-0, who were the number one seed in the AL playoffs. Oh,
the Orioles are on the teeter right now. It looks like, obviously, it's as we're recording, this game's going on. It's 6-0 in the third inning. So it looks like the Rangers are going to just finish them right here and move on to the next one and say, adios, Baltimore. Hope you enjoyed your extra week and a half of vacation. The Rangers seem like an all-out wagon. The Orioles, unfortunately, just did not have enough juice. But the Rangers have everything going for them. And right now, look, they look like they're going to get Scherzer's back as well. It's big time. They are ready, and they are ready to get this thing going for them, because they got a good team, good top to bottom, good pitching, good hitters, and a lot of hot hitters right now. And look, I don't know if anyone's gonna be able to stop the Astros, because the Astros have been unreal too thus far, but they have all the right juice.
I'm hoping. I mean, it was cool. The story that goes along with the Twin series is that was the longest playoff win drought of in professional sports. So now you can get that off your back, but it is still an uphill battle, and you're playing probably the best team that's left. I mean, the Orioles were paper because the AL East sucked all year. I didn't pay attention much, but I saw that from the very beginning of the season. So it's coming down to the stretch, and we're gonna have the ALCS set by the time you listen to our next episode. So we'll try and incorporate that a little bit more. We'll plan on it next time and maybe bring some topics to bear. We're talking about, so Sunday, I got a text from you Saturday morning. I was over down at the outlets. We didn't play until 5:30 up in Greeley, so I had a long drive ahead of me, but we were getting some shopping done and hanging out. And you sent me a text. You're like, hey, do you have any plans on Sunday? I was like, nah, probably not. I was like, do the Broncos play here? Okay. And it's the Jets game, so then you send the text you want to link up, and you gave me your extra ticket, so we went to the Broncos game live and in person in Denver. saw the stadium in person with the upgrades.
Upgrades are nice. Upgrades are very nice.
Overall, like, it's still worth going to the games. I'm sure you can give a little bit better perspective because you're the actual fan who saw what happened there. I mean, we left early because after that fumble, you're just like, we might as well beat the rush. We got on the first train back, so we hit it at the right time. But
I told you before that even drive started, or maybe the drive before that when we scored to make it a one possession game, I said, if we don't score here, I'm not sitting here and watching this. There's a feeling across the city, and look, like I said, this kudos to everyone that wears orange and blue around the city still, because, man, it's like I said last week, it's getting harder and harder and harder every single week to show up with a clown mask, be like, here we go again, I'm still riding this team, and then just preparing for the worst. Like, it's Jimmy, it's getting so bad. It's getting so bad. But luckily, the stadium upgrades are nice.
The stadium upgrades are nice. We can talk about that. But is it going to be this week that Vance Joseph is finally fired? Because that's – I didn't realize it. I mean, sitting there in the stadium, we saw the big run happen. Breece Hall did in the second half kind of do whatever he wanted. The Jets were moving the ball, and a 10-point win in the NFL, that proves that they deserve to win that game. The Broncos had no chance. They didn't do any of the things that they needed to push it over the line, and they let it get away from them too late. But Breece Hall's rushing for 177 yards, like, you've already given up a game where three guys ran for 150 on you. At some point, have some balls, have some backbone, have some pride in your defense to get yourself in the right spots to stop the run. If you can do anything, stop the run. Make these quarterbacks beat you, and they probably still will, because everybody outside of Surtain and Simmons can't really cover. But come on, man. Stop the run.
Jimmy, this team has no backbone. This team has no spine. This team has no will. This team has nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's the best way I can put it. This team put together will not be able to win anything. And look, you look at the gauntlet of a schedule this team has. You need to blow this thing up before the trade deadline on Halloween night. It should be giving out candy. It should be the Denver Broncos giving out players for whatever they can get. There's only one player that you don't pick up the phone for unless it's for two firsts. That's Patrick Surtain. Everybody else, and I mean everybody else, is available. Come and get what you want, ladies and gentlemen, because Justin Simmons is available, Garrett Bowles is available, Corlin Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Javonte Williams, you name the guy, Mike McGlinchey, DJ Jones, anyone that's not either on a rookie deal or on this or a very, very young upside prospect is available. Okay, so you see what this team is right now, and you look at what they are. This team needs a full blown makeup and full blown blow up. It needs to be redone, and it needs to be over. It needs to be moved on, because I am sick and tired of 8 years now, Jimmy. 8 years of thinking, you know what, this team could be something. You know what, this team could be something. You know what, this team could be something. 8 years of this, and 8 years straight of no, 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 no. Look, you can say what you want about being a losing franchise. When you're a losing franchise, that means you always have some little hope. There is a difference between teams that tank and set themselves up for barrenness. The Lions, for instance, had some very, very tough years, ended up with Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson. Had some very, very tough years, traded Matthew Stafford, got them into a position where they're a top team, a Super Bowl contender. The Cincinnati Bengals lost, got Joe Burrow. You have sat in mediocrity at best, for 8 years now. You need to say, this team, this makeup, this city is done. Just thinking of hope. Put this team in success, because if you look, Russell Wilson, I tweet out, Russell Wilson will never win here. He's not the problem. He is not the problem. But Russell Wilson in a Denver Broncos uniform will never win anything here. And if you lose so badly that you're a top three pick, I'm telling you right now, you take a swing on a quarterback. That's where you're at. I don't care if Russell Wilson's not the problem. No, he's not been the problem. But I also watched him bowl the game-winning touchdown the other way to the defense when the game mattered. Okay, it used to be mean something play at Mile High. It used to mean something. Be like, you know what? That doesn't matter, win or doubt, bad, good or bad team. When you come in a Mile High, you play in Denver, you know the Broncos will always have a chance. always have a chance to win that game. I'd be hard to find a single person in that stadium that was a Broncos fan that had belief that we were going to win that football game. That's what this team has done. It's what this ownership group has bought. It's what this general manager and president of football operations has established. This team is the biggest joke in the NFL, Jimmy. The biggest joke in the NFL. The Bears have some slight of hope. The biggest joke in the NFL is the Denver Broncos. You lose to your former head coach, Josh McDaniels, your former defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio. You lose to your former ball boy, Mike McDaniel, your former head coach on the defensive side, Vic Fangio. Then you lose also to your former head coach again, Nathaniel Hackett. It doesn't get much worse than this. It doesn't. This is an embarrassment. This is why I'm happy to be talking about hockey. This is why the city is so excited for October 24th to come around where the banner gets raised. It's because the Broncos are dying. They are dying. They are losing this fan base. They are losing this city because this city is realizing how exciting the Avs and Nuggets are to watch every single night. They're realizing that, oh, I don't have to rely on a team that has given me false hope and just false propaganda for 8 straight years. We sold our soul for that one Super Bowl. Was it worth it? Probably. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is unheard of, and it is not what this organization is known for and should take. This organization is not known for its losing, plain and simple. Outside the last 8 years, this organization has some of the best players that have ever touched the football field in its history. And you have now shown up and been absolutely terrible.
It's been killed by the trust. It was killed by the Bolin Trust. There's no other culprit. Joe Ellis as the head of the Bolin Trust.
Not even giving Kyle Shanahan Joe Ellis didn't even give Kyle Shanahan an interview.
He sabotaged the team at every turn. Why not re-sign Simeon to a bridge deal at that point? Because he was consistent and he had a winning record. He's last quarterback for the Broncos to finish the season with a winning record. You could have done that. You could have interviewed Kyle Shanahan. You could have not nixed the deal with Mike Shanahan. You could have interviewed Mike McDaniel. But no. Vance Joseph, Vic Fangio, let everybody that was good for your organization go away. And yeah, your general manager and your defensive coordinator right now, the fact that they're not fired right now is the problem with the organization. The organization has no standard it's being held to. If you were being held to the standard that Peyton thinks that he's trying to hold these guys to, Peyton would be gone and you would have a different defensive coordinator. Vance Joseph would not be on the sidelines because it's clear you have no talent. Look what we watched with the Jets. They had both their tackles go down. They had guys step in and move the ball better in the second half.
True.
Billy Turner was playing left tackle for the New York Jets on Sunday.
Former Denver Bronco last year, by the way. 1 year removed.
Former Bronco, Packer. I think he's played just about damn near everywhere, but he was playing and playing well. Like, you did not see the fact that it was a backup in there. And when the Broncos, I mean, the starters look like backups at most positions at this point. But if we did go to the backups, it would be ugly. Just like Miami was ugly.
This group, every single person that's currently wearing the Broncos, Denver Broncos uniform, and I mean every single person, has built a stigma and built a presence of loserness, of losing, of being losers. Every single person in the locker room. Look, I like Justin Simmons. He's brought losing to the Denver Broncos. Garrett Bowles has turned his career around. He's brought losing to the Denver Broncos.
Not Russell Wilson
brought losing to the Denver Broncos.
Leader.
They have all brought losing propaganda and losing losing leadership into this locker room, and it's dead. It has killed it. It is gone. It is done. That's why, these guys may go elsewhere and play very well. Bradley Chubb, cough, playing in Miami, playing for a very, very good contending team now. These guys may go play somewhere else and be on good contending teams. There is zero doubt about that. But this leadership group and this team does not have it set at all. There is a losing mentality and loser mentality and losing propaganda that is just being brought upon every single day in that locker room. That they walk into a game believing they're going to lose. They walk into every single game believing they're going to lose. And Sean Payton is doing everything he can trying to figure this out. Did he get out-coached by Nathaniel Hackett? No, he did not. Did he get out-coached by Robert Saleh? No, he did not. Did he get flat out embarrassed because of his stupid comments? Absolutely. one of the worst losses of his career. You go out and say that, and your defense puts up that good of a performance where your offense can't even figure it out in the second half. That relies on you, unfortunately. It really does.
I don't think the players want to play for Peyton at this point. They need to get new players in there because the guys have no fight. Think about it. That was one of the main differences. Everybody rallied around Hackett and Saleh and with Zach Wilson on the Jets sideline. They fought as one, and nobody on the Broncos sideline really looked like they were that interested in helping them.
They're not fighting for anyone.
It's 11 individuals out there. When you're playing with 11 individuals, you play with basically nobody. And that's why you get embarrassed for 177 yards on your ass. There's no other way to put that. That was dominating. Like, I feel bad we watched that. We should have turned away.
It's an audition tape of what teams come and get me. Jerry Jeudy out there going to like Carolina Panthers posts and following which Carolina
the
Panthers
only winless team is left in the league.
Like, it really is just so funny. Like I said, I'm so done with this team. I'm just so done with this team and so done with this organization right now that really it will take an all out scorch earth mentality. If this team doesn't make more than four or five trades of getting rid of players for draft picks and trying to build up your fucking draft capital after you wasted it on your $300 million ass quarterback / your head coach, then I'm going to be very, very disappointed, plain and simple. And when I say everyone is available, I mean everyone is available for the correct price. Cough, cough, Patrick Sertan. Everybody else, I don't – look, if the New England Patriots – who have been absolute shithole right now, or the Atlanta Falcons give a ring to the Denver Broncos and offer a third round pick for Russell Wilson, and you can but you have to pay for his contract, you take the deal. You take the fucking deal. And you can quote me on that. If they offer a third round pick for Russell Wilson and the Broncos have to eat the contract, then fucking take it. Because I can't stand it. And you throw Jared Stidham out there. And look, like I said, Russell Wilson's not the problem. This team has a loser mentality and starts with the quarterback. It does. I'm sick and tired of kissing babies, hugging wives, being Sierra's husband. I want winning football. And he is not a – look, I saw a local radio show talked about this. Has Russell Wilson played his way out of the Hall of Fame? Because I think absolutely.
Was he ever in?
Before he touched the Denver Broncos uniform, Super Bowl-winning quarterback, MVP conversation, not a losing record. Possibly. Conversation was there. The miss man right now won't ever even touch it. This man is on the level of Joe Flacco and the Jeff Garcias of the world of having lucked out by a great defense to win you a Super Bowl, and that's why you're only relevant for so long. Got you some
contract. Trent Dilfer. Jeff Garcia never won one.
Whatever, whoever. No,
he is. I agree with you there. I don't think that he needed to win another Super Bowl. That's why going to the Broncos was intriguing, because it's what Manning did. Manning would have had a better argument to go into it before he came to Denver because he had the yardage and he had the stats. Wilson didn't have the stats. He didn't have the MVPs in his bag. He never even got a vote for the MVP award during the regular season. Like, he had a couple really good defenses that carried him to a Super Bowl. He never did anything himself, and now he is Joe Flacco. Now he's just Russell Wilson. We can Jeff just say Carson Russell Wilson at this point.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers guy, whoever won that with Rondé
Barber, Rich Gannon,
whatever it was. He is going to be infamous. And look, like I said, he is not the problem. Let me reiterate that he is not the problem. But he is not going to be successful here in Denver. You cannot sit here and tell me that these next 3 years of this contract after this year are going to be successful under him. You cannot sit here and tell me that. Like I am not going to sit here. If I have to sit here for another 3 years with Russell Wilson at the quarterback, I might as well just pick up another sport. Go watch cricket or go watch Premier League soccer during the winter on Sunday mornings instead of waste my time with this shit franchise.
It's rough. You're not the only one that has those kind of feelings. And as much as we were trying to jaw at the Jets, we were also jawing at the Broncos because they made quite a few mistakes. The other games
and before I continue with Jets fans, I know you're so happy for Nathaniel Hackett and that or the other thing. He almost lost you that football game. Okay, let's not forget about that. The fact that you didn't score at the end of the half with the ball on the own 15-yard line. And then also, you gave the Broncos the ball back because you threw the ball a couple times and stopping the clock. Let's not forget, yes, Russell Wilson threw that game away, but Nathaniel Hackett's offense almost fumbled you that game. So you can be so happy right now. You can be excited. Oh, fuck Sean Payton. Fuck Sean Payton. Give me 3 weeks, 4 weeks until you start calling for Nathaniel Hackett's head is all I'm going to say. So happy. Everyone go hug him. Everyone go pet that goatee of his. Because I'm going to tell you right now, unless Aaron Rodgers is calling plays and gets off this Achilles where he can stand on the sideline and help call plays, Nathaniel Hackett will run your team into a position where you will be a lower half of the league team still, even with that good of a defense.
We're talking about the other games now that we picked, just running through the scores. Bears beat the Commanders on Thursday Night Football 40-20. Justin Fields looked pretty good, but Sam Howell, that was kind of a duel for a second, and then the Commanders just totally whipped out. Interested to see where they're going to go in that NFC East, because the Cowboys also took a fat L. Let's just put that out there in the world. They're not on the same level as the 49ers, folks. Not even close. The team that has knocked you out of the playoffs the last two seasons, just embarrassed your ass. Now, here's the one thing you can say. It was in San Francisco. If this had taken place in Dallas, imagine the shitstorm that would be coming out of that state right now. All the oil would be set on fire. Jerry Jones would have cut somebody's head off at the front of the facility. Like, we cannot do this. We cannot have this kind of beating at our home stadium. What do you do from here? How are you going to rectify this? It's not like you're going to get 30 points better by the end of the season, right?
I don't know if there's much to get better, Jimmy, with the Dallas Cowboys team. I looked at top to bottom, and like their defense has Micah Parsons. They could get better at the DBs. Their offense, Dak Prescott, obviously, look, that's the biggest just circle, right? That's the biggest circle is Dak Prescott and what he's going to look like, because when do we see Trey Lance? And look, the 49ers fans are calling for him to come out there when the game got out of hand. They thankfully did not do that to the poor kid and put Cooper Rush out.
That would have been
very, very bad. But luckily it didn't happen. They put Cooper Rush out there. So I like I said, I'm very, very excited of what this 49ers team does every week, because like I said, I think it's the best team in football. I've said the last couple weeks, the best team in football, top to bottom, most talented team in football outside of one position. And that one position right now plays good, smart, strong football. Absolutely, every single time. And Brock Purdy does not make mistakes. He is Kyle Shanahan right now. What he's doing with Brock Purdy is what Bill Belichick did with early Tom Brady. Because early Tom Brady was not the god that we saw at the end of his career. He was managing what the weapons he had around him and did play them smart play. That is exactly what he's doing with Brock Purdy. Not making him do dumb things, just making the smart play and putting him in positions to win where he knows, you know what, if you get the ball to the guys around you, you'll be set up for success. And that is exactly what the 49ers have done to him. And so the Cowboys, they feel like they're just putting way too much on Dak Prescott's shoulders, and he does not have the capabilities of doing that. The offensive line is worse than what it was. We've lost a bunch of key pieces across the front, and Tony Pollard, they've got no rushing game. Go along with a bad defense. Cowboys are lucky that they could probably squeeze into a wild card position with how soft the NFC is, but they got some other things coming and some hard questions they're going to have to ask if they want to take that next step, because I don't think Dak Prescott will be it for them.
We're going to talk about their game coming up this week because they're back in prime time, but they are they're probably going to beat up on the bad teams because they have a lot of them on their schedule, but they're in a little bit of a limbo spot now. Really quickly, running through the other ones. International game, the Jaguars did end up beating the Bills just at the end of the game. Etienne goes off for two touchdowns, 26 carries, 136 yards.
Played against himself in fantasy football, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough look. Hopefully the other guy – you got to leave that guy on the bench. Probably not. He probably whooped his own ass, like in Liar Liar with Jim Carrey. The Bengals beat the Cardinals. We watched the beginning start of this game at the stadium. Burrow and Chase finally had their connection going. Chase has a new franchise record, 15 receptions, 192 yards, three touchdowns, and Burrow threw for 317, three touchdowns, did have one interception. Didn't look all the way back, and the Cardinals did things at times that made me a little bit hesitant, but you staved me off for this week. This week coming up, though, because we'll talk about it, but they do play the Seahawks. This is a more of a litmus test for how much am I going to invest in the rest of the season? If the Seahawks treat us like they treated the Giants, I'm good. I'm out on the season. Joe Burrow can sit on the bench and we'll figure this thing out and try over and start over again next year. If they win this game, they're able to get to their bye week at 3-3, because that's when their bye week would end up being in the season. Okay. I can continue to watch. And I think that even if it has to be a wild card spot, even if you don't win your division, which right now they're back in a tie for, I believe, second place. They're right back in it because Baltimore shit the bed against Pittsburgh.
And so Pittsburgh currently leads the division.
Pittsburgh is totally beatable.
Every team is beatable in that division. Like I said, it was a very, very important win to get yourself back into a position where you're like, you know what, we still have a chance. This division still have a chance to move on and host a playoff game again. And like I said, that was a step in the right direction. We'll see if the Bengals are able to keep going with that forward. I hope so for your sake. Because one of us on this show needs to be happy about football being on.
I'm on the fence. Last game of the weekend, Jordan Love just ain't it for the Packers right now. Raiders beat the Go Pack Go in Las Vegas, 17-13, and now the Raiders sitting at 2-3. Broncos hold sole possession of last in the AFC West with this victory. It also gave us one of our losses on the weekend. Not that we were ever going to pick the Raiders, but did you expect more from the Packers at this point? I expected a little bit more from them than what we saw.
I did too. I absolutely expected more, but then again, the Packers, like I said, Jordan Love is not Aaron Rodgers and he's not Brett Favre. It's crazy what a different Love type of quarterback does, absolutely does to a team. So, like I said, it's nice for Packers fans to have to go from Hall of Fame quarterback to Hall of Fame quarterback. Now it's absolute dud, is all I'm going to say. Jordan Love Jordan Love is going to make this team mediocre. And not having Aaron Jones was a massive blow, but this defense on being able to get off the field and then this offense not be able to capitalize on a 70-yard pass from Christian Watson, get down to the 5-yard line, not be able to punch it in. This team is going to struggle. And like I said, it's the Lions division to lose. It absolutely is.
The Lions look damn good.
Damn good.
They look damn good. We're going to get into – so we're saving the pick'em for this week. For the end, we're now moving over, and it's time to talk a little bit of hockey season. We're going up north of the border. We've already had a few games taking place because we are recording this on opening night, Tuesday night. Tuesday, Tampa beat Nashville 5-3, and Pittsburgh is currently, as we're recording, leading Chicago 1-0 in the second period with about 17:30 left to go.
Leading the hype boy bowl of Sidney Crosby versus Connor Bedard.
Toronto has a tie on the door right now. Don't go see Toronto. He's having his alone time. Don't knock before you enter. What did I say about knocking? Always knock. We're gonna get into our predictions for who's gonna win each division. Have the standings pulled up the way that it would work out with the wild card, the reseeding with the NHL. When it gets to the playoff bracket, it makes a lot more sense, but the race leading up to it is a little bit convoluted. If you're new joining us this season and you're not a hockey fan, you get 2 points in your team standings for a win. You get 1 point if you lose in overtime, and you get no points if you lose.
Yep.
So that is... You want to have the most points in your division. If you have the most points out of your entire conference, you obviously have home ice advantage. If you have the best record in the regular season, you win the President's Trophy. Okay, that's just a brief rundown. I don't know. We've got so many people with that Swifty catfish that I feel like now whenever we move to a new segment or start talking about a sport, we got to be like, okay, let's walk it to the starting line, and you decide where you go from here. Maybe you like the hype boys. And I know people like think Sidney Crosby is attractive. And I'm sure Bedard is going to
be the next wagon. Yeah.
You got to fight them off with a stick. All right. Let's look at the division. So we have in the Atlantic for the Eastern Conference, Toronto, Tampa, Montreal, Florida, Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa, and Boston. Boston, obviously, having the best regular season last year and then losing in, I believe, the first round, right? They got knocked out in the first round.
Lost in the first round, yep.
Yep. The Florida Panthers went on the miracle run, and they bring back Matthew Tkachuk, but that's a short offseason when you lose in the finals. So now you're trying to struggle, trying to get guys back. And Tkachuk was very hurt. Their team was very hurt. So interested to see what happens to them. Buffalo has had a lot of hype for a while. And you're like, okay, well, are you going to shit or get off the pot here? Toronto also another team. Like, you got past the first round barrier and you thought everybody stopped playing hockey after that? No. Oh, honey, you got three more series to go. You got possibly 21 more games left, sugar. Those first seven are hard, I know. It just gets harder from there, big guy. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in that division. I'd like to say that it's going to be somebody different than Tampa, but I know our friends at We the Thunder would be mad at me. So I'm going to say that Tampa wins the division, and Buffalo would take second.
I'm going to go not so fast here, Jimmy. Tampa Bay will be without Andrei Vasilevskiy for the first 2 months of the season on the IR with an injury. So that will be massive. Okay, then
Florida will be in the lead.
Hold on. And guess who's at goal? Who's in goal for them? Old friend of the Colorado Avalanche. Take a guess. He's not a starter here, but he played some games here.
I have no idea.
Jonas Johansson. Jonas Johansson. Oh,
JJ.
JoJo. JoJo is in net as going to be the number one goaltender for Tampa Bay for the first 2 months of the season. So possibly 30 plus games, which is, like I said, for that alone, I'm gonna have Tampa still in the playoffs. I'm gonna have them on the outside looking in, but I'm gonna have them missing. I'm going to number one seed. I'm going to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'll be the fucking one that like I said, I've done this
whole show a couple times
already. I did. Austin Matthews is absolutely unreal. You add Ryan Reeves to this team, you add a bunch of pieces that add grit to the team. Like I said, you got the monkey off your back. You're able to win a playoff series. I think this team can take the next step. I think they're that talented with Marner and Matthews now. Matthews got that massive contract. And like I said, they're going to rely heavily on Matt Murray and company and net and back there. But I like what they're doing with Morgan Riley, and I think this defense is going to be much improved with the grittiness they added with the Ryan Reeves of the world. Yeah, Ryan Reeves is not a good skater anymore, but seeing him wearing that blue jersey and then being across the ice still inflicts a little bit of fear. I think Boston takes a step back. I will say Boston takes a step back. I think losing Bergeron, ending his career and losing a bunch of key pieces, Taylor Hall's of the world, I think it's going to end up coming back to bite them. I think they're a fringe playoff team. And I do not believe that Ullmark will do this exact same thing like they did last year. I think my number two, this is going to be a little bit weird one here. I'm going to go Ottawa Senators as the second best team here. I like what Stutzel and Brady Tkachuk
are doing at best. Wild card team at best.
Clip this then is all I'm going to say is because Ottawa is a very,
Brandon,
very
I hope you're listening. Wild card team at best.
Very, very young and talented team. And I think Ottawa has the back end defensive-wise. And they add Tarasenko to their team. They add these veterans to go with these young guys. I think Ottawa is a team that could be very, very frisky in this division. So I have Toronto winning division. I have Ottawa second. I'm going to go Florida third, and I'll go Tampa Bay fourth with Boston fifth.
Buffalo is going to be a wild card team.
Yes, absolutely. Jimmy, 35 games of Jonas Johansson.
Okay,
at goal.
Okay, Jonas and they have Johansson. Victor Hedman, Mikhail Sergachev. They're very good.
Don't get me wrong. Very good. But 30-plus games with a lot of guys that played a lot of hockey the last
Shooter,
year.
Stash, and Schooley. Nico had this one clip for me. I want this one clip for Nico. Shooter, Stash, and Schooley. Let's make a gentleman's
bet.
Here's the gentleman's bet. I say they will be top three by the time Vasilevskiy comes back. You say they're going to be five? Yes.
No, I'm not saying they're going to be. I say they finish fifth, but I had them fourth. I went. Toronto,
okay, I'll say they'll finish
Ottawa.
Top two by the time Vasi gets back. If they finish top two by the time Vasi gets back, I win.
That's fine. Top two.
By anything else, you win, and we can figure out what the stipulation is from there.
I agree on that.
All right, we're a little contentious to start things off, but I do agree with you. Boston's not going to be very good this year. They lost too much. They're trying to turn too much around at a different time in their franchise. They needed the stability that they don't have. Moving over to the Metro, the teams in this one, Washington, the New York Islanders, Pittsburgh Penguins, Carolina Hurricanes, Blue Jackets, Philly Flyers. Blue Jackets, by the way, losing their coach just a couple weeks ago. Babcock is out of the Don't steal your players' phones, kids. Philadelphia Flyers, New York Rangers, and the New Jersey Devils, last year's playoff teams, if I'm not mistaken. Carolina, New York, New Jersey, and was it the other New York?
Okay. Pretty sure that's it because
there we go, the
Penguins and the Islanders. I think there's five teams out of the Atlantic that made the playoffs. I think it will continue. I think it will continue. For me, I'll start hot.
This is the weaker one for sure.
This is absolutely the weaker one. I'll start hot. I'm gonna ride the Devils this year. I think Jack Hughes is going to be very, very good. I don't believe in the Rangers as much. I'm gonna go Devils here. One, I'm winning division. Pittsburgh is very, very frisky every single year. I still have
to Carolina as
number two. They added Carlson. I think Carlson will be a massive, massive help, but Crosby's not getting any younger. Malkin's not getting any younger.
Letang's
not getting any younger either. Jari is going to be a very, very massive piece for them going into the season and see how well he does. I think that's going to be the guy they have to lean on to win a lot of ball games. So I'm gonna go Devils one. I'm gonna go Hurricanes two. I'll go Penguins three, and then give me the Rangers four. Is how I'm going to go. I don't believe in the Islanders still. Shesterkin is a very, very good goaltender. And I think they have a lot of hope, but I don't think that they're offensively yet.
I'm going to go Carolina because Carolina won it last year. I think that I like what Brendan Moore does. I'm going to say Carolina is one. I will pick – I think I agree with you about New Jersey. I think they're right there, and I think they could be pushing for that one seed. But right now I have it Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Pittsburgh, the Rangers and Penguins kind of on the same thing. Both of them, if you show me, sure, you guys can both be playoff teams, but I think it's going to be one of those two. And the last team I can see possibly making it, it would be nice for everything that Columbus has to go through and the fact that fan base never gets anything that they want. And now with this whole thing with Babcock, and like it would be cool to see them back in the playoffs. That was a cool story when they knocked out Tampa in 2017 and upset the number one seed as the eighth seed. As my hot take, I'm going to say Columbus gets the four and they possibly make a wild card spot in the playoffs.
I'll ride my Ottawa Senators take over the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Oh, you will. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey is going to wipe the floor. With these
Johnny
guys,
the Metro doesn't know what's coming. Yeah, Johnny Hockey, Patrick Laine leaving the front. That's the two-headed monster.
I don't know many Columbus Blue Jackets. I know that they had that one goaltender who had the unfortunate 4th of July incident. I don't know many other people who play for the Blue Jackets. And I just know it's not going to be Philly. I think Philly will be good in the future, but they're just still getting their pieces together in the front office. They haven't even started putting their pieces together on the ice. So they're still a ways off. New Jersey's frisky. I don't think that's too hot of a take to say that they're going to win the division because Jack Hughes is that good. People were debating whether he'd get to 100, and I think he got to like 105, 106, like got it comfortably. Now people are thinking like 115. If he's healthy for a full 82, why not? That is the skill level of this guy, and he's playing with pretty damn good line mates. I'm pretty sure Bratt's still there. I'm sure that they have guys that are there to facilitate his playmaking ability. So that's going to be – they're in a good spot still. Moving over to the Western Conference, we always start in the Pacific because you guys know who we root for since we're a Colorado podcast, and they reside in the best division in hockey, and that is the Central Division. But the Pacific does have the reigning, defending Stanley Cup champions, Las Vegas Golden Knights. They just had the cup out at the – the cup out. See, we're talking hockey and my Canadian accent comes out. They had the cup out at the Monday Night Football game over there at Allegiant Stadium. Coming back with a lot of the same pieces. That's the thing about Vegas. That's the trap. That's why people fought it for so long. Because if you live in like Paradise, Nevada, which is where a lot of the team lives, and you have some success, you are gladly taking crappy, just the worst contracts because you're like, I love where I live. It doesn't cost that much money to live here. And I get to be on the Vegas Golden Knights and continue to have a great shot at winning Stanley Cup championships. Cause I'm pretty sure White Cloud and I'm pretty sure McNabb both took super, super short deals, like total team discounts just to stay in Nevada and stay playing for the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So they are still a threat. We'll see how they deal with the Stanley Cup hangover. It doesn't seem like they've been partying quite as much as the Avs did. Maybe it's just because I don't see it on a daily basis on my social media feed. But also out of the Pacific, yeah, the Kraken, who was a playoff team last year, Edmonton, and Los Angeles. Edmonton nearly beat that. That was probably the toughest series for the Golden Knights in the entire playoffs, but really wasn't even that tough of a stretch. Vegas was just that dominant, and Eichel and the boys were on a mission last year. What are you seeing in the Pacific? Is it Vegas's division again, or do you see Edmonton stepping up to the plate and taking it back?
I'm going to ride Edmonton. I think Edmonton still is the most talented, I'll say that, most talented team. That's because of the two-headed monster they have at center. Like I said, it's Malkin, Crosby. It's that level of esque of 1-2 punches at the center position. I think that's what gives them the edge. I think Vegas will still be a very good team. I'm going to go Edmonton here 1. I'm going to go Vegas 2. I'm going to this is where it gets tough, because the Kings looked a lot better at the end of the season last year, obviously, making the playoffs and being a little frisky there. But again, Seattle won a playoff series last year against a team that came off winning the Stanley Cup. Seattle looks like a team that, they're healthy, could be very, very good team again. Matt Beniers in his full second year will be helpful. Getting Shane Wright possibly fully into the lineup will be big time. A guy that could have been the number one pick last year. They have a lot of young and exciting prospects in Seattle. So I'm gonna go Edmonton, Vegas, Seattle, and I will go 4 team. I'll go Calgary. There's something about Jack. I think Jack Campbell figures it out, and Kadri, I still believe in him. I don't know what Calgary's going to look like defensively or offensively. I think they're very, very stout defensively. You look at Rasmus Anderson. You look at that depth that they have. I think that's going to be the backbone of their team. I think they're going to struggle to score, but I think they'll be able to win a lot of gritty games defensively and help themselves out. I don't believe Vancouver. I don't believe in San Jose. The Ducks missed out on Bedard again, like they missed out on Crosby. That's where I'm at with those teams. I would say the Kings probably the team to fight with them. I think it's between those two. Look, Kopitar is getting older for them. That's why I still don't believe. And I believe in the Kings. I think that Jack Campbell, I believe him a little bit more going to this season with the Flames than I do with anything that the Kings are going to put out.
I have no faith in the Flames. I think there's only 3 playoff caliber teams in the Pacific. I think Vegas probably wins the division. I think Edmonton will be 2, and I think Seattle has shown and the way that they played that playoff series, they adapted to that level and that style of hockey very quickly. I think the Avalanche were a little bit taken off guard because they thought, they didn't have guys that had been there. I think they only had a few guys that had that deep playoff experience. But they adapted and they played a gritty, grimy playoff game. So if they can get in the tournament, they were tough for the Stars too. So let's not forget, they were tough in the second round. They were tough throughout. I think those 3 teams are the teams you have to look out for. The Kings, you said it, they're getting old. And Calgary.
They have some young pieces. Adrian Kempe leading the head of that young movement, but don't believe in their goaltending and the inexperience they have back there. That's where
they were getting goaltending above their head last year, and that just doesn't last. That doesn't go season to season. So I don't think that they're going to get that this year. And we have to shout out the San Jose Sharks, because Darren, I know he listens to the podcast. He is a San Jose fan. Keep working in that rebuild, buddy. Don't pay attention to hockey for a few more years. Just stick with Golden State. Talk about those guys. Talk about your Raiders. Chat with Tyler about the 49ers. Don't pay attention to hockey in San Jose right now. It's not good.
It's not good at all.
It's not great. Central Division, where the greatest team in the history of sports franchises resides. The 2022 Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche. And yeah, the Dallas Stars, the Arizona Coyotes, St. Louis Blues, Chicago Blackhawks, the Wild, Nashville Predators. Okay, we said all the rest of them.
Look, this division is obviously, this division is the best division in hockey. It absolutely is. And look, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I say we don't win the division. And I look, we don't have the hopes of winning the division.
Don't be one of those.
I am a smart human being, is all I'm going to say. Okay. I know how the Nuggets, I built a plan for them to win the NBA championship, and it happened. I built a plan of how the Avs can get back to where they do, where they are. And I will agree that the two best teams in this Western Conference will come out of this division, Central Division. That'll be the Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche. I know you hate the Dallas Stars with every passion of you, but right now, Jake Ottinger may be the best goalie in hockey right now, regular season wise. You add in guys like Jason Robertson and company, this team is going to get very hot at the right time, and it's going to be a very, very good regular season team. Very good regular season team. I'm going to pick the Stars first, the Avs second, but I will say this. The Avs had Gabriel Landeskog, they'd be the best team in hockey. I love the offseason additions. I cannot stress this enough. Adding Jonathan Drouin, who was a guy a lot of people wrote off. Adding Ross Colton, who has a lot of big-time playoff experience, is massive. Getting LLC back, getting McKinnon back, getting Val back. There's a lot of great depth that they added to this team that I think is going to be massive. You're not going to see JT Compher. He's in Detroit. Eric Johnson's gone. He's in Buffalo. But you see a very young and very, very hungry team again. That's what I've been waiting for, especially last year. Last year seemed like a bunch of veterans trying to get another one. This year, with adding Kale and having McKinnon in the prime of their careers, Joe Sakic said, hey, let's get this team younger again. Let's get this team speed with speed and fast around those two around them and go from there. And that's how they built this team. It's exactly how they built this team. And I love the additions they have. We'll see what Georgiev looks like. A second full season as the number one. I'm very, very excited to see what he's going to look like this year. Very, very excited. Defense still has some question marks. Jack Johnson still being your third defensive pair. Maybe it will be interesting. We'll see. But you still have arguably the top two best pairings in defense in Taze and Makar, Manson, and Byram. So I think things are looking up, obviously. I expect a much better run, much deeper run this year. Obviously, it's a very, very disappointing team, but a team cannot stay healthy on the ice. Obviously, knowing that you don't have Landeskog at all this year, I think it's going to not help, but it won't hurt this team like it did last year. I think it was very Jamal Murray, quote-unquote-esque. Of waiting around, being like, you know what, is he going to come back? Is he going to step in that locker room? When's RC going to be back? He's not going to be there. That's just known. So I think Nate and Kale specifically, maybe Mikko as well, will take into that role. Cogs, obviously, who knows how long he'll be out, still trying to recover from that injury from last year. But look, this team is very, very healthy and very, very much hungry to get back. It sucks losing the first round of the playoffs, but after that long of a run, getting an extra month and a half, 2 months off is going to be massive. And I think this is going to be great for the health of this team.
They win the Central this year. They won the Central last year.
I hope so, Jerry.
Being as injured as any other team. And I know that you like to say that Jake Ottinger is one of the best goalies this year, but he was not posting anything in the playoffs when you look at it. Man. So in the biggest moment last season, he did not have that same magic that he had the year before. I have it pulled up here. He was 10-9, had an .895 and a 3.06 goals against average. He is beatable. And I don't see a team in Dallas around Jake Ottinger that is good enough to beat the Colorado Avalanche as many times as they will to win the division. They couldn't do it last year. If you were going to do it at any point, it was last season. That was when you were going to take them down. That was when Winnipeg should have put their foot down on the gas and finished after the All-Star break. Dallas could have done it where we didn't have a chance to come back and win it, yet the Avalanche still snuck in there and won. And now the team is better, they come back hungrier, and they're healthier and well-rested. We'll never know what exactly happened with Val Nichushkin in the playoffs. And hopefully he's rectified that with his teammates in the locker room, because if it were me and a guy that does something stupid that seems like in his personal life and is unavailable for the rest of the playoffs, that would piss me off and rub me the wrong way. So hopefully he's rectified it in the dressing room. I'm sure that they've taken care of it, and Bednar is a smart guy. He knows how to get the team going. If they're healthier than they were last season and they won the division last year, I'm not going to go with I'm not changing. I'm going to sit. I'll be that guy that sits on it. And the VSN channel has to hate me, because everything they post about the Blues or post about the Central. I'm all over it. I'm going to be a guest contributor on the Five Hole Show this year, and I'm going to be singing the Avalanche's praises, hopefully, with what I'm expecting. I think it's going to be a great season. I think we're all going to have a ton of fun.
Don't worry. You can quote me on this when you go on that show. The Blues will be the second worst team in this division outside of the tanking Blackhawks. And that's the only reason why they won't be last is because the Blackhawks are just not talented outside number 98. So you can quote me on that. I think they're going to be that bad this year. I think Jordan Binnington is going to get exposed very badly. And I just think that they're going to be that bad this year. O'Reilly's not there. They don't have a lot of guys, and I think they're gonna be very, very bad. And fortunately, they tanked the wrong year because, like I said, they could have been in a running of a Connor Bedard sweepstakes, and that's where teams like the Ducks, teams like the Sharks, where they all just fucked themselves and missed out on the Sidney Crosby, the Wayne Gretzky, the Connor McDavid sweepstakes again, where they're like, you know what, we tanked the wrong year, we fucked ourselves, and the Blackhawks will end up reaping the reward. But I just have to be realistic with myself and that hoping that this team, like, I'm obviously going to root on the Avs and I hope that they win the division. But for me, I'm just going to go Dallas. I'm going to go Colorado. I'm going to go Minnesota. I think Minnesota could be very, very deep this year. I think that they're going to get much, much better than they were last year. They have some contracts getting off, I think, finally for the first time. So they're finally some of those guys that they had on those long-term deals that they bought out, I think are finally getting off. So that helps. Minnesota is going to be very good. Nashville, I don't believe in. I don't believe in them at all. It's going to be a Yusei Saros show. And hopefully that he can carry them to the playoffs. that's all they're leaning on. And same thing with Winnipeg. Winnipeg, I still don't believe in. And I think losing Luc Dubois is going to hurt them. Shifley still being their head man, I think it's going to hurt them. So give me Dallas, Colorado, Minnesota, and I will go Winnipeg as the fourth team. Arizona, look, I don't need to really say much about you. It's baseball season, right? For you guys, the Coyotes aren't going to do much. You have some of the six jerseys in hockey, but it's just not going to do anything for you. I just wanted to gloss over you for that reason.
You can just flip our first and second picks. I just don't see a world where it's. I still think it's very realistic to expect the Avalanche to win the division. And that's what I'm gonna hold. That's the standard that I'm gonna hold them to because it's more fun for me. I like having a team that I think I'll be able to watch now because we have the YouTube TV instead of, you know, shitty ass DirecTV that never had a single Avalanche game on in the last 4 years. The entire time that they've been good and playing in the playoffs, I haven't been able to watch. I should be able to watch the games this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the boys do. Who says we can't talk about anything other than football and basketball? That was a whole 30 minutes really of hockey talk, and we have all of our predictions set for each division. We'll be continuing to show up just as we were talking about that. By the way, Pittsburgh did go up on Tuesday night 2-0 with about 6 minutes left to go in the second. So yes, Chicago is as bad as we expected them to be. Let's talk about this week's pick'em. We've already mentioned the records. Just to reiterate, I am 16-12. Nico had the four game lead on me going into the season. It is currently a four-game lead. He has a 20-11 record on the year. We're picking five games this week because the Broncos happen to be in prime time, and we don't need to add in the extra game because we've already been doing that with the international series. So we'll only have five games. Broncos, Chiefs, Thursday night football. We're also picking the Ravens, Titans, Seahawks, Bengals, Sunday night football, Giants, Bills, and then Monday night football. Cowboys get to rebound in prime time, going from Sunday night football to Monday night football, see if they can beat the Chargers coming off the bye, the earliest bye in history, it seems. That would piss me off if I was an NFL player. Like, don't give me that bye before week six. I still feel human at week six. Don't give me that bye before week six. Let's start off Thursday night football. Chiefs have not lost to the Broncos since Peyton Manning was playing for the team. Patrick Mahomes has never lost to the Broncos since he's been the starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are favored by 10.5 points. Travis Kelce may be a little bit banged up. He hurt himself, twisted his knee. The Swifties are now trying to get rid of turf fields. I don't know if you've seen all of that kind of crap, but it's where now that is a thing and they've made it official or whatever, it's what we're going to be having to talk about. And like we said, Swifties, and we enjoy your company. I'm dating a Swiftie, so I have to be nice. I can't be too mean. because all I ever will be is mean. And someday, hopefully, I'll be big enough where you can't hear me.
I'll cut that off before you.
You're good.
I'm not picking the Broncos again. I know I said I'm going to pick them to lose every single game outside the division games. I'm not an idiot. Like I said, this would be the most on Broncos fucking brand thing to do to somehow win this game and be like, you know what? Like, it's time to ship it all in, and then you fucking pull one out of your ass because the Chiefs overlook you. No, it's not going to happen. The Chiefs are going to win that. 10.5
Did the Chiefs cover?
Yes, they absolutely.
They haven't been. I don't think they've covered it yet this season.
No, they've been very, very bad at covering. They haven't covered anything. They barely squeaked by Minnesota last week, and they squeaked by a couple teams. They're not juggernauts anymore. I'll tell you that right now. They, like I said, if it weren't for the Broncos' idiocies and the Chargers being the Chargers and the Raiders being the Raiders, they would have some trouble this division. But luckily, their division is a bunch of dumb and dumbers of who's who of being idiots in football. So I'm going with the Chiefs here. And my pride, the only reason why I'm saying that is because my pride says to never pick against pick with the team that is in your division, but at this point it's a running joke, and please continue my sorrows and continue the downfall, because if the Chiefs embarrass us Thursday night, it's a week and a half, and you've got to think that week and a half it is going to be a fucking yard sale. So let's hope that it's an absolute fucking abomination where they get their ass kicked so bad that everyone gets sold before the game on Sunday and before the game start on Sunday and things get hot going at the right time, and people it's an Oprah Winfrey show. You get this player, you get that player, it's all over again. So give me the Chiefs. They run away at this game.
I'm also picking the Chiefs because the Broncos, this is not the team that's going to turn it around. Maybe next year. We'll see about it, but it ain't going to be this year, and it ain't going to be an Arrowhead where you break that streak. Moving to our next game, Ravens favored by 4 points going on the road to take on the Titans. Titans had the tough in loss. London. It's in London, so the Titans technically lose a home game, but I think they make it up somewhere else on their schedule. It'll be at Tottenham Stadium, same place that the Jags and Bills played last weekend. Ravens favored by the 4 points. I didn't look. I should have looked up their travel schedules, because honestly, we didn't talk about it too much in the Bills game, but the travel schedule that McDermott came up with, whoever told him that was a good idea should be fired. Why would you – they look so tired. They flew in on Friday morning. Why wouldn't you leave directly after? Don't even go back to your apartment. We're chartering the jets. We're getting first-class tickets. We're going directly from week 4 to week 5 in Tottenham so that we can adjust to the time. And, hey, it may take us a little bit coming back, but you will have that extra time. I'm pretty sure the teams that go overseas get a bye within a week or two. So you'll be able to recover. We'll be able to get back. No, we totally throw everything off. It just didn't look great. And then you have Travis Etienne, who hasn't done anything in the NFL, totally embarrass you. Like, that was a total
anything in the NFL. He's been a very, very stable running back the last year and a half or so. I will say that he's been
didn't play his rookie year with an injury, and I think he had about 600 yards from scrimmage last year.
That's because he played half a season last year. When he has played, he has been good. I will say that. I'm not going to diss the ETN because he's done very, very well on my fantasy team for 2 straight years is all I'm going to say. So as a fantasy owner of ETN, I'm not going to dish on the guy. But, yeah, the Bills, it really hurt them going to London. And like you said, with these two teams, Tennessee coming off a tough loss, both teams coming off some bad losses. Both games where Tennessee felt like they should have beat Indianapolis with Gardner Minshew came in and beat you. And then you have Baltimore, who laid one of the worst eggs I've ever seen against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But it is time to start. The conversation has to start with, is Lamar Jackson able to win the big game and able to take that next step? Because and look, I know you're going to shake your head automatically. No, but the man needs to figure it out, needs to be able to stay on his 2 feet, and this offensive line cannot keep him up on 2 feet. He's losing receivers every single week. Zay Flowers last week, OBJ this past weekend. It's going to get worse and worse. And like I said, you lose Dobbins. This team is not talented enough for Jim Harbaugh's coaching to get them over the top into the playoffs. But then again, you can say the exact same thing for the Tennessee Titans. This team is not talented enough to get over Mike Vrabel's tough grit and hard, good coaching. Because right now, Tannehill looks like an abomination. Tyjae Spears looks like he could be the number one running back because Derrick Henry is losing a pep in his step. DeAndre Hopkins is going to the place where receivers die. Cough, cough, Andre Johnson, Randy Moss, Julio Jones, insert receiver that had a great career and ended in Tennessee here. I'm going to go Baltimore here because I think Baltimore is a much more talented team right now. And I think Tannehill is just running this offense into the ground, and this defense for Tennessee is not talented enough. More talented, obviously, than the Pittsburgh Steelers defense specifically, but I'm going to ride the Ravens here because I think they're just a better team right now. And like I said, both these teams are need a win after what happened last week.
I'm rolling with the boys in two-tone blue. I think the Titans get this one done. I don't like what the Ravens have shown ever since the Bronco game last year when Lamar got hurt. I just haven't had faith in them. I know they got back into the playoffs. They're a scrappy team, and Harbaugh could pose issues, but I think Tennessee's going to rebound. I think Tennessee gets a win this weekend. So we're split on that one.
I just think the Steelers are a better football team than the Colts, and the Ravens obviously placed one of the top three, if not the best defensive football in Pittsburgh, and lay a goose egg against the Colts, who were just reeling as it is. Tennessee is just too much.
I don't see too much of a difference between Indianapolis and Pittsburgh right now because their quarterbacks are both still improving. That's where I
see a better defense of Pittsburgh. That's the only difference. I see a top three.
Jeffrey Simmons is just as disruptive, not to the level, but he can be just as disruptive as TJ.
And Micah Fitzpatrick and Joey Porter Jr. This defense of the Steelers is night and day better than the Tennessee Titans. It's not even than the Indianapolis Colts. Excuse me, it's not even close.
Tennessee will win on Sunday. That's fine. Seahawks-Bengals. Bengals are still favored by 3. They get the home push. Bengals did get back on the winning track. I said it at the beginning of the show when we were talking about our recaps from last week. This is their test. How much more investment am I going to have in the rest of this season for the Cincinnati Bengals? If they come out and look strong against a tough Seahawks team, who I believe is coming off of their bye as well, then, you know, we can head into the last couple weeks before our bye in a good spot. If they get embarrassed and Burrow looks like he can't move again and nobody can get the ball to any of the receivers or whining and complaining and look like we did going into last week, I'm good on letting everybody rest for this year. We'll figure it out again next year. I am picking the Bengals this week. I think that they're going to be able to get it done. They showed a lot of promise, and I trust Zach Taylor, Lou Anarumo, and Brian Callahan enough because of what they've done in the last 3 years. They've built up enough trust in my mind that I'll go with them, and I think they can win. Even though Pete Carroll is going to be a problem.
I don't know if you know who the number one blitzing team in the NFL is, but it is without a doubt it's number one. This is not Seattle Seahawks. They blitz the fuck out of them.
Please zero blitz them.
Let's hope Joe Burrow can get the ball off in time, and I'll ride the Bengals here too.
Put Jamar Chase at slot and just run that quick little 9 route because they're blitzing everybody in the middle, and they won't do it again. I promise you. After they chased Jamar down 98 yards the other way, they probably won't do it again.
I hope so. I hope so for your sake. I'm riding the Bengals too. I hope so too.
Sunday Night Football. Last of the two games that we have left. Giants at the Bills. The Bills favored by 2 touchdowns. Big number in the NFL. But honestly, the Giants look like they have not wanted to show up.
They're the worst. They're the second worst team in football. They are unwanting and unwilling to play football out there. They are a lying dead organization right now that is sitting on their hands paying another $300 million quarterback along with the Broncos. They are in the exact same boat as the Cincinnati Bengals going into last week. They were paying a quarterback $300 million with a 1-3 record. And the only difference is Joe Burrow is Joe Burrow, Daniel Jones is Daniel Jones. And they just are, like I said, one of the worst teams in football. And I said, I'm not even going to hesitate. 14 might – minus 14 line might be too little. The only reason why I see them covering is because maybe a jet lag. That's the only reason why they'd be covering. Let's be honest with ourselves. I think at this point the Giants are one our top three worst team in football, right there with the Bears, right there with the Broncos. I think that low of this team and organization right now. I think they are that bad across the board. They can't do anything offensively, can't do anything defensively. Saquon Barkley got all this fat contract, and he can't carry this team even into the playoffs again like he did last year. Give me the Bills. Give me the spread. It's going to be an all-out Sunday night massacre.
I'm also on the Bills. I think that they're going to win and win handedly. Last game of the week. This will be our fifth one, rounding out week six. Monday Night Football, the Cowboys favored by 2, going on the road, taking on the Chargers coming off of their bye week. I'm just going to say it right now. I'm picking the Chargers because I'm done with the Cowgirls. I'm done with the Cowgirls. I hate Jerry Jones. So as much as, you know, I want to be a good friend, and I know I'm picking your division rival, they're not playing against you, so I'll say that. And I can't stand Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. I like all the bad stuff that happens to them. It's awesome. Jimmy,
I don't know if you know who the worst head coach in the NFL is right now, but it's Brandon Staley. The Chargers are going to charger themselves like they do every single week. Every single week. If Brandon Staley saw what the Miami Hurricanes did to lose their game and saw that, you know, maybe we'll get some more yards for the Austin Eckler, Joshua Kelly's of the world and on the last play, and they're going to lose in a travesty, an absolute travesty. And I think Dallas gets one back. I'm going to go Dallas here. Like I said, the Chargers are going to find ways to lose every single year, every single week. It doesn't matter who the hell they're playing. And I think the Dallas Cowboys are – I think they're more talented youth-wise in sort of CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons as opposed to Joey Bosa and Keenan Allen. And look, I think Herbert's much, much better than Dak Prescott, not even close. But I don't know. I don't trust the Chargers. I really will never trust the Chargers. I don't care. As long as I die, that light blue and yellow will always be mid. It'll never be great, and it'll sometimes be bad. So give me the Cowboys.
I'm going with the Chargers. We have both picking the Chiefs, the Bengals, the Bills, and then we're split on the Ravens, Titans, and the Cowboys, Chargers. We'll see who ends up taking back a couple games. Either Nico's going to extend his lead, or I'm going to get a couple games back. I think that's going to do it for this week of the pod. I know I was supposed to be on Talking the Gridiron Sunday. When we got back from the game, I laid down on my bed and I woke up when my alarm went off at 4:30 the next morning. The kids are running me ragged. I'm glad that it's Spirit Week. I'm going to be rocking the costume that you guys see. This will be my Wednesday outfit. You guys will see my outfit that I wear on Thursday next week for the show. It's October. It's exciting times. We had Nico's birthday last month. My birthday's coming up and Halloween coming up. There's a lot of cool stuff happening. October's the best time of the year. You can't tell me any different. All the different sports are on. And we appreciate everybody checking us out, following at FEOTP Pod, subscribing. Nico, it's we're at the right time now. We're at the right time of the calendar. It's my favorite time of the year.
As we're recording this, the defending champions are 2 weeks out from defending their Larry O'Brien Trophy. So football is full swing. It's killing me every single week. Luckily, hockey and basketball are back to get me through. So I'm very, very excited for the colder weather and the long sleeves to be popping on the hoodie. It's hoodie weather.
Be sure to follow, subscribe, leave a like, rating, 5-star rating, and a review anywhere you listen to your podcast. Be sure to tell a friend to check us out as well. For myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nico Bryant, episode 155 of the Far End of the Bench podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you guys next week.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.